You are listening to the audio from Grace Bible Church. This audio message is a recording from our Sunday morning worship service. We hope you enjoy.
Good morning, Grace Bible Church. All right, well, my name is Pastor Dan. I'm the youth pastor here at Grace Bible Church. My privilege to serve here in that capacity and also to share God's word with you this morning. And as I typically traditionally do, I would love to just share with you a little update on what's going on in youth group. In case you're not able to see what happens on a Wednesday, it's craziness. That's just what you need to know. We had our senior graduation cook-off two weeks ago now, where we had 14 of our seniors graduating out of youth group. So I'm super sad because that's 14 teenagers that are going out into the world. I'm excited for that. I'm going to miss them greatly, but I'm excited. We have 11 new students coming up July 1st, so we're super excited about that. You want to see something fun, watch 7th graders come into youth group for the first time. Super fun. They get quiet really quick. And then they get loud, you know, and then they have a lot of fun, and we get to grow in that relationship together. Something else exciting that's happening in youth group is that we've been investing in our students for a while now and challenging them to step up in their relationship with God and their giftings, and we're actually having them take over youth group next week. They're going to do the music. They're going to do the announcements. They're going to do the lesson. I don't even have to be here. I'm just kidding, I do. I really am going to have to be here. But they are going to take it over. We're going to watch them use their gifts, and we're really excited about what God is doing. They can lead. You know, teens, they are capable of doing so much more, and if they would give them the opportunity. And so we're giving them that opportunity to do that. I'm excited to see what God's going to do there. And then as well, as Jeremy mentioned, we're excited to take a missions trip this fall. So you might be getting letters, support letters here soon, and just want to let you know about that. We're excited about this opportunity to be able to take our students to Argentina, to have them grow in their relationship with God, to share in the ministry there, and then see how God works in their hearts and lives. So I invite you to pray with us on that. So before we go any further, and before we get into God's word today, I want to take a moment to pray and ask God's blessing over our time together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much for today, for all of the worship that we have just been able to be a part of, for the ministry that we were able to hear about with the Bajis and down in Argentina, God, and I pray your blessing over them. And God, right now, as we come together to hear from your word and what you would have to share with us today, God, I pray you would open our ears to hear, open our hearts to be able to understand, our mind, and God, help us to be able to live according to your word, to love our world the way that you have loved us. And so, God, as we move forward into this, I pray, God, that you would be honored and glorified in this time. And in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. All right. I have a question for you guys. Have you ever wanted to learn how to do something new? Okay? Yes, okay. Now, I'm going to ask another question to follow up that. What did you do to learn how to do that new thing? Now, there's many different ways, right? If you stop and you think about it, there's many ways to learn how to do something new. I know my typical go-to move is what? You know, pull out the phone, and you ask, I'm not going to say it because it will start looking up stuff for me, you know? You say, hey, I'm doing a DIY project at my house. How do I wire a three-way switch? So those of you who don't know, that's where you have two light switches, but it controls the same light. It's craziness, okay? But you need help. So I was like, okay, how do I do that? Oh, and it'll give you, like, all the links, and, like, it'll give you even a diagram of how to do that. And if you scroll down a little bit further, it'll even give you how to treat electrical burns, which is really helpful, you know? Or how to hire an electrician, stuff like that. Some of us, you know, we will go to a friend, right, that is we think is knowledgeable in that area, and they don't charge us anything, right, on how to do that thing. Or we could go to a professional, right? And we could go to a professional, and they're certified, and they know all about that thing, and they can teach us and guide us on how to do those things. And some of us go to YouTube, and it's really, you know if you know. Anybody with a camera can upload a video to YouTube, and sometimes it's helpful, and sometimes it's not. But I would like to submit to you the best method for us to learn how to do something new is to look to the best. Look to who is doing it, who's certified and is knowledgeable in this area. And this past week, I was invited to grow in an area of my own life spiritually. And I wanted to invite you to come along with me and what I've learned, but because I am by no means that expert. Okay, I want to quote one of our elders who says this. He says, "I am just a beggar telling another beggar where to find bread." Okay, that's all I am today. That's all we are. When we find truth and when we find from God's word, we aren't anything special. And as I share this with you, we're going to learn from an expert today. We're going to learn from Peter and John as they have an invitation for salvation. So if you would, turn with me to Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 11. We're actually going to go to chapter 4, verse 4, but you can find that in your chair Bible there in front of you, page 911. 911. Don't call 911. We're just going there today, okay? So, as I said before, we're going to see Peter and John's invitation for salvation. So I have another question. So many questions. I'm sorry. Have you ever wanted to learn how to tell somebody about Jesus? Yes. Well, great. I'm so glad, because today, that's what we're going to do. We're going to learn how to, and imagine this. A friend of yours comes up to you and starts asking you questions about what you believe to be true about God, about the Bible, about heaven, about hell. And then they say, "How do I know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die?" Wouldn't it be great to be able to say with confidence and know exactly what to share with them? Yes. And so today, we are going to look at Peter and see how anybody can share. And the great invitation consists of 4 points that anyone can share. So we're going to look at these 4 points. But these 4 points, like I said, come from Peter's sermon after he and John were used by God to heal the lame man at the temple gate. And if you missed last week's sermon, I really encourage you to go back and take a look at that and listen to it. It's well worth your time. And now as we pick up, we're going to pick up just after the lame man is healed. So look with me in Acts chapter 3, verse 11. He says, "While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life.'" Pause. Whew. You know, that's kind of fiery, right? We'll get to that in just a moment. But I want to share a little bit more about the situation that's happening here in the beginning of this sermon. Peter and John find themselves with a crowd of people. Thousands of people are utterly astounded because this lame man is now walking and leaping and praising God. Though in this passage right now, he's clinging to Peter and to John. I just have to put myself in his shoes for a moment, in his sandals, okay? Because he's doing something that he has never done before. He's over 40 years old, and he's never stood up. He's never walked. He's never ran. He's never leaped. And here he is, just able now, because of the touch from Peter and being raised, he's been healed because of Jesus, because he put his faith in Jesus. And now, he's never been able to stand up and give somebody a hug. Think about that. And now he's just overwhelmed with joy and thankfulness that he cannot stop hugging them. And this is why the people were utterly astounded, because they had seen him every day begging. And there he was. And now he's standing. And Peter, when he sees this opportunity, it says that he saw and he addressed the people. And so when God gives you a door of opportunity, it's our choice, it's our decision, though, to take it. And here we see Peter taking that opportunity in this part of his sermon. Here's the first point that anyone can share. Don't be scared, to share the bad news. Now, we see Peter do it in a very bold way, and we'll talk about this in a moment, but he says this, we don't have the power. He says, we do not have the power or the piety to make this man walk. Jesus has the power. He is the servant of God. But you rejected Jesus. You denied Jesus. You asked for a murderer to be granted to you instead of Jesus, and you killed the author of life. The very one who knit you together in your mother's womb, you decided to crucify. Now, I think we need to understand something here. This does not give us liberty to go around and blaming people for putting Jesus to death. Okay? You need to understand the context here. This is descriptive of what Peter did. It is not prescriptive specifically for how we should talk with people. And here's why. Just a few months earlier, Jesus was standing in this same spot that Peter is standing in, the same physical spot. We see this in John 10, 23 and 20, through 28. It's up on the screen. And Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon, the exact same spot. And so the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Jesus told them plainly in the exact same spot, these exact same men. He said, I want to give you eternal life, but you're not listening. These literal men that are now gathered around Peter and John and utterly astonished are the same ones who put them before Pilate and said, crucify him. It would be better for us to have Barabbas released, a murderer released to us, than to have Jesus. So I think and I believe that this should actually be our approach. When we share the bad news with people, that we should do it with humility and understanding this. In Isaiah 53:6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. That's you, that's me, person sitting next to you, people outside these walls, all of us are like sheep who have gone astray. We have all turned, everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And this is the bad news. When you share bad news with somebody to start off with, this is the bad news. Our sin separates us from God. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Sin is anything that we do, say, or think that is against the perfect character of God. These sins separate us from God like sheep have gone astray. But even in our sin, it says in this passage, in Isaiah, it says, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And this is where the good news starts to kick in, okay? Because these sins drove the author of life to lay down his life, to take our sins upon himself, to die, to pay the price for those sins, for all of us who have gone astray. Why did he do that? It's so that we could have good news to share. So here is our next point, okay? Be sure to share the good news. Now look what Peter shares. After that bad news, and it was pretty bad, he shares this good news in verse 15. He says, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. In his name, by faith in his name, he has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. And so here we see the good news. And we need to be encouraged to say, be sure not to get stuck in the bad news and to share how bad the bad news is. You know, some people, when they're trying to share about God, you get stuck in just sharing how bad they are, how bad their sin is. But we need to get beyond that and go, no, but there is good news to share. And I would encourage you to say it even in this way. Be sure to smile as you share this good news. Because I'm not sure how convincing you are when you say, yes, Jesus died for you, for your sins, so that you can have joy and everlasting life. Really? I want you to close your eyes for just a moment. I want you to think about a time in your life that you had good news to share, whatever it is. Think about how you felt. How hard it was to keep that good news in. How you had planned how to tell the closest people in your life this good news first. Now open your eyes. That feeling, that joy, should be the response when we have a conversation with somebody and say, but there's good news. There's good news. Jesus loved you so much. He died on the cross for your sins so you could have eternal life with him. And we do need to make it simple. Be sure to share how simple the good news is. We tend to overcomplicate things, but did you know that the good news, the gospel, can be brought to 10 words? 10 words, this is the gospel. Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead. Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead. That's the gospel. Gospel means good news. See, Peter describes this good news. He says, God raised Jesus from the dead, who you put to death. But by faith in his name, through Jesus, this man is healed. You acted in ignorance, but God acted intentionally. He proved this through the prophets. And let's go back to Isaiah 53, verse 5. It says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. 700 years before Jesus would come on the earth, before crucifixion was a thing, Isaiah wrote that God's servant would be pierced, that his wounds would heal. Even those who put Jesus physically to death, he has the power to heal. Because look at Jesus on the cross. In Luke 23, verse 34, it says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. They are ignorant. They don't know what they're even doing. That is the power of the good news, to forgive even those who physically put Jesus to death. And this is the good news we need to share with people, is that paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Amen? Amen. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Now, this is where a lot of us get hung up. We can share the bad news, we can share the good news, but now what do we do? They're even still listening to us, and they're attentive, and now what? You know, I kind of like feel like this is where it's kind of compared to like the first time you ever experience a roundabout, right? They don't teach you how to handle roundabouts, really, in driver's ed, because there's, like, only one in our area, right? And I can remember the first time I experienced the one in Avoca. I'm like, what is this? I got stuck going around it a couple times until you can figure out how to get off, right? It's like, ah! But after a while, after you figure out, you go around a couple times, which, by the way, you should try sometimes. It's really a fun experiment. You go around a couple times. It's not that bad. And I feel like as Christians, sometimes we need to get to that next step. So what is that next step? You've shared the bad news. You've shared the good news about the gospel. Now what? We need to give them the invitation to repent. Acts 3:19, just the first part of it, says, repent, therefore, and turn back. I just want to stop right there. Repent, therefore, and turn back. Repent. Warren Wiersbe, who's a commentator on this, on the whole Bible, but in this passage, he shared this. He says, repent means to have a change of mind about themselves, their sin, and Jesus Christ. See, true repentance is admitting that what God says is true, that I am a sinner, that sin separates me from God, and that Jesus is the perfect Son of God who died for my sins on the cross. That is the change of mind that must happen. But comes with the change of mind. If someone tells me, hey, there's a cliff in front of you, the repentant in me says, yes, I acknowledge, I agree, that is true. But that doesn't mean I keep going off the cliff. That means there needs to be a change of direction as well with that repentance in mind. And that is where the conversion takes place. To turn back, Peter says, to put our faith in Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. So when you lead someone to repent, you can ask them to admit that they're a sinner. Say, I admit that I am a sinner. That's what it means to repent. And I put my faith in Jesus Christ to save me from my sins. That's what it means to repent, to lead them in that. And here I just want to give you a couple helpful hints on how you can help people lead them to this repentance. When you come across that roundabout, don't freak out. When you come across the opportunity to be able to invite someone to trust Christ, don't freak out. Here's a couple questions that I'll ask or things that I'll do. Do you want to accept Jesus as your Savior? It's a question because there's a choice that has to be made. What is holding you back from trusting in Jesus? Or is there anything holding you back from trusting in Jesus? And don't force them. You know, have a conversation. Have an honest conversation with them. Help them learn and help them lose those fears and help share how you have trusted in Christ. And lastly, I can pray with you to receive Jesus if you are ready. And I want to encourage you as well to mark your Bible. In the front part of your Bible, there's typically a blank page. And you can write down salvation verses at the top of that page. And I encourage you to put these verses down, just these three verses. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Many of you guys have that memorized. Maybe you don't need to write it down. That's fantastic, because guess what? You might not have your Bible on you that day. I understand that. But you might be the only Bible that somebody ever gets to experience. And so I encourage you to take these verses and even memorize them. But it's in good practice to also write down other verses that you might find along the way that you can share with people that are salvation verses. I don't have it up here, but John 3:36 is also a fantastic verse. But Romans 10:9-10 is one of my favorites. It says, because if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Does it get any clearer than that? It says, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And I share with you, church, there is no greater joy in all the earth than to lead a person to Christ. To know that their sins are forgiven, they have eternity secure in heaven with their Lord and Savior. There's no greater joy, I would submit. I hope these points are helpful to you, but there's one last point that Peter shares with us that's important to share in the great invitation. And we can find it in verses 19 through 26. It says, repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days, you are the sons of the prophets of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, And in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. So here we see this next point is to share what they will receive. Now, we just covered a lot, okay? There's actually four things in this passage that we just read that Peter shares with them that what they will receive when they trust in Christ. And the first thing that Peter shares is that your sins will be blotted out. Your sins will be blotted out. Now, that phrase, blotted out, I looked it up, what it means originally. It means I wipe away. I like this part. I obliterate. That's what it means to be blotted, have our sins blotted out, is that they are obliterated. How does this happen? How can God take all of my sin and obliterate it and wipe it away? Romans 3:23 through 25. You know, we usually go to Romans 3:23 to share the bad news. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But there's a comma there. So we're going to keep reading. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as the propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. There is a lot in there. But in context, this is saying your sins are obliterated because God is so awesome. We fall short, but God meets the mark. He is perfect. I have something I want to share with you guys, a little illustration, but I used to be in the building kind of career in contracting. I'm not leaving, I promise. Okay? And there was a time where I was working on something for my boss, and I cut a board and brought it over to him, and it was too short. I make mistakes sometimes. I don't remember how much it was. It was probably like 3/4 of an inch, but you know if you're building something, that is even too short, right? And he told me, hey, Dan, go in my toolbox, go grab the board stretcher. You laugh because you know. I think I took one step, paused, I looked at him, he looked at me, he grinned, I knew he was pulling my leg. There's no such thing as a board stretcher. When you cut a board too short, there's nothing you can do. This is a 2x4. I think this is a lot like us, okay? But let's say perfection is 24 inches. Now, from where you are, you're like, yeah, that's 24 inches. That's good enough. It's too short. You might not be able to see that, but 24 inches is right there. That's 14 inches. So many times we say, oh, we're good enough. We're not as bad as Hitler, who's like, really small. No, we're not that bad, but we're short. According to God's law, we have to be 24 inches. There we go. Let's try that one. Yep, 24 inches on the dot. But how do we go from this, 14 inches, to this? We can't. We can't apart from ourselves. And that's why there's good news, and that's what is received here, is that there's this thing called the grace of God that blots out our sin. And so when it says that he was pierced for our transgressions. Loud noises, sorry. Now, here we are. Our sins have been covered by the perfect Jesus Christ. And now, when God the Father sees us, he doesn't see our sin anymore. He just sees his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the picture of what it's like to have our sins covered, blotted out. We can't do it on our own. We now accept that free gift of his grace. And now we have his righteousness that is the proper length, the perfect measurement. We are not. And we rest completely in faith in him. That's just one thing that we receive. He goes on to say, another thing that you receive when you trust Christ is transformation in your life. He says, times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And Jesus, when he was on earth, he said in John 15, verse 5, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This life, true life, purpose and meaning comes from the vine, comes from God. And when we abide in him, in his presence, we experience true life. That's another thing that we receive as Christians. Then, if you noticed in this passage, Peter went off on some eschatology, some end time stuff, where he promised that Jesus is coming back for you. He said that he may send the Christ appointed to you. And Peter knew that Jesus was coming back to establish his kingdom, and he didn't know when. He just knew that he wanted his countrymen to believe and not be left behind and not experience the wrath of God, which is coming on all those who do not believe in Jesus. And there is coming a time we see in Scripture where the rapture of the church will take place, where Jesus will come back for his church to remove them from the earth and for this time for the restoring of all things. And we look forward to seeing when that day will come. We still do not know, and we wait, but we need to earnestly be a part of the other thing that we receive is a mission to bless the world with the gospel. Peter said to these Jews, he said, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The gospel message came to the Jews first because the Jews were God's chosen people and was promised to Abraham that through them the blessing, the light, would come to all the earth. Jesus knew that he was the fulfillment of that, and he has sent us on mission to share that with other people. In John 10:16, he says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them in also, and they will listen to my voice so that there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus cares about the lost sheep. He cares about you. He cares about your neighbors, your coworkers, no matter how lost we have labeled them. And we are invited to be a part of this mission. So with these four things, we can surmise them to this. We receive, when we trust in Christ, that life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. This is something that every single day we get to experience with the Lord. We get to be reminded that our sins are blotted out, that we have transformation with the Lord, that we have a promise that he's never going to leave us behind, and a mission to do. But not everyone will receive it. As we finish up our portion of Scripture today, I just want to read quickly Acts 4, 1 through 4, just to see how this all is taking place. How is this sermon going? Not today's, the one, 2,000 years ago. And it says this, and as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day. For it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed. And the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Can you imagine? That's taking this room right here and multiplying it by 10. 5,000 people trusting in Christ in a single day. That is a moving of God's Spirit. That is a blessing of his word. But there are still two responses that we see in this passage. There are those who are greatly annoyed, and there are those who are utterly astounded. The greatly annoyed would put them in prison. And by the way, if you want to know what happens next, come back next week. Cliffhanger. But then there are those who are utterly astounded, who repent, they trust in Christ. 5,000 are added to the family of God that day. And so the great invitation is to actively, joyfully, and passionately share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So don't be scared to share the bad news. Be sure to share good news. Give them the invitation to repent and share what they will receive. Today, as we have been, I want to close with a time of prayer. Short moment with you and God, just quietly talking to him. I want you to answer this question as you pray. What is God inviting me to do today? Here at Grace Bible Church, one of our core values is that everyone has a next step with Jesus. Doesn't matter if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, or you just walked in here the first time, every single one of us has a next step with Jesus. And so what is yours? Is it to repent and receive Jesus today? Is it to join the great invitation? I wanted to just leave you with that. Let us pray, and then I'll come back and close this out. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for the boldness of Peter and John to share your word with thousands of people gathered around utterly astounded. Lord, they were faithful with the door that you opened to them. And God, I pray that in our lives as well, God, that we would be faithful to the doors that you opened to us. Help us to not be controlled by fear. Help us to live in faith, to trust you in all things. And God, we know and believe and expect you to do awesome and amazing things because it is who you are. And so God, I pray your blessing over this church family. Lord, I pray that as we leave here this day, Lord, you would have moved in our hearts as well. Help us to live on mission and on call, ready to share at any time. Help us to grow in areas that we need to change and be prepared and grow in. And help us to live when you call, that we go. So God, in all these things, I ask your blessing and protection over us as we go from here. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Grace Bible Church. For more information about our church and our ministries, you can visit gracebiblepa.com.